listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. People often ask me, why do you like so many movies about the strange and unusual? I myself am strange and unusual. You know, I had to, because this movie, Blithe Spirit, kind of reminds me of sort of like a turn of the century Beetlejuice.
Noel Coward foresaw Beetlejuice and made it into the
Beetlejuice. Yeah. Was just ripping off Coward, man. Jesus.
I thought it was more a Death Becomes Her remix.
Yeah, ripping off Beetlejuice.
I wish I had that as a coffee table book from Beetlejuice.
Somebody gave me a white elephant. It was a copy of one of the Hitchhiker's Guide paperbacks, but they had repapered it with the handbook for the recently deceased. And I was like, yes, this is
That's
awesome.
Such a good gift.
We are questioning whether or not this new version of Noel Coward's 1941 play, Blithe Spirit, is in fact a gift or a punishment. And I've certainly seen some arguments to either side. Joining me here for this debate are the spirits of Frank.
I am just a spirit at this point.
Brad?
Ooh, put me back in the grave.
If I ever was a spirit, I would like to be the corniest spirit ever. I'd be going like, ooh. They'd be like, seriously? Santi?
I'd be the same. I'd be a spirit riding a tandem bike asking strangers to join me. Like, hey, come on, you want to hop on?
And we saw what you did, right? You pulled your faces off right in front of them.
None of you guys would be in the spirits that'd be like haunting people as they're watching movies and just giving your own commentary all the way through.
Or just spoilers, right?
You're like, yes.
It's ambiguous, you fool.
Her head is in the box.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that would be terrible. I don't do that now. I probably wouldn't do that as a ghost. I'd probably be more like, and if there were still video stores, be like, no, not that one, yes. That one. But this is based on the play of the same name by Noel Coward, which was previously adapted to great and Academy Award winning acclaim by David Lean, which I'm now like, how did I miss that criterion? It was made into a musical adaptation, High Spirits, as well.
Oh, of course.
Now Frank knows what I'm talking about.
This could use a couple musical numbers, actually.
Anyway, in this particular version, Dan Stevens, and this takes place in what, is it the 20s?
The roaring 20s.
Yeah, well, they got like a soundstage and movies, so maybe 20s or 30s.
But Dan Stevens, yay, Dan Stevens, plays Charles Condamine, a writer who had been a novelist for a while, but he's been dried up for quite some time, and he's been taking a pretty big gig to write the screenplay for a film adaptation of his first novel, and he's just stuck. He does not know what to do.
And he lives with his wife, played by Isla Fisher,
who's his glamorous wife, and they live in a glamorous, very modern for the time home. And she's going around doing rich wife stuff. They have a bunch of servants and what have you. They're a little bit bored. Their marriage is a little stale. Admittedly, it seems clear they haven't been intimate in some time. There's references to his ex-wife who had died 7 years previous, and that on some level he was still kind of hung up on her, or she worried about it. He has memorial items for her. Now we find a little later, maybe it's less he misses her and more he misses something that she had to offer in this particular scenario. But as things go on, because his book, I guess, involves spiritualism at some point, they decide to go see this famous spiritualist played by Judy Dench, Madame Arcati, who's giving a performance, and because of an accident ends up being exposed as a fraud. Regardless of how you might feel about spiritualism, even the ones that people who still believe in this stuff go, no, that one was for real, still use stage trickery, like and been outed for it a number of times. They're like, well, you need something to grease the wheels, right, to get the ghost going. It's all about belief. Anyway, point is, afterwards he's like, look, I don't care what happened, I'm not a reporter, I actually just need more exposure to this sort of thing. Will you come to my house and do like a seance? They do. She does. They bring their friends over. There's a seance. A bunch of wind blows. A bunch of doors open. The lights go out. Nothing seems to have happened, though. And she's like, I could have sworn something happened. It felt like something actually happened. And they're all like, whatever. Well, it turns out something did happen. She ended up opening the doorway for Dan Stevens' dead wife, Elvira, played by Leslie Mann, to come back, but not in a creepy ghostly form, in a sort of like seemingly like she's actually really there type of form. And she is doesn't remember dying, is very kind of pissed off about it, and is really pissed off that he's remarried and is like, this will not do because she wants him back. So it's sort of a series of slapstick encounters as the new wife becomes convinced, the old wife, the spirit, Leslie Mann, can actually manipulate items and make things fly in the air and what have you. It's like, okay, so this is real. This is really happening. And I'm starting to worry that this bitch is crazy, which she kind of is. And she decides, well, if I can't have him in this way, maybe I can have him in the way where he joins me. Now, it's funny, when I looked into a lot of the reviews for this, I saw a lot of critics going, I really don't like the changes they made from the Noel Coward version of this. Like, apparently this is pretty darn different from the Noel Coward one, which I've never seen. For one thing, this is taking kind of a feminist bent of having much more expansion on the female spirits and the female characters, and much more of the Dan Stevens being kind of a schmuck and being kind of the bad guy in some ways, although I didn't feel like it ever really sold. But that's kind of the goal of the film, is to get there.
They make Elvira more of a co-lead. There's way more scenes of just the two of them bantering and going back and forth than I was expecting in this kind of farcical.
And it is a farce.
It is very much a farce, yeah.
Everybody is, except for Judi Dench, who's the only person playing this straight in the whole film, is mugging like crazy at the camera, which apparently is weird because in the original, it was the other way around, where the person playing the psychic was the one who was like over the top and crazy and everybody else was playing it straight. So kind of a weird turnaround there. But I got to tell you, it is a pleasure watching these three leads' goofiness and mug at the camera and do these. I mean, Dan Stevens was born to do that.
He really was, and I just didn't really have that much of an impression of him. I haven't seen Downton Abbey. I probably will never see Downton Abbey.
You haven't seen the Matthew seasons of Downton Abbey?
Keep Your Jaw on the Floor, because I also didn't like The Guest, and so...
Oh, come on.
Oh, no.
You're killing me.
I've seen him in other stuff, but I thought he was just so charming and playful and a schmuck, and a very entertaining schmuck. Yeah, I thought everyone was pitch perfect in this. They got the tone right.
The tone is right, although I did question as well, if you're going to change that much of it, why did you keep it at around the same time period? The time period felt to me anachronistic. I kept going, this doesn't feel like when it's supposed to be set. And part of that might be that their house is supposed to be so modern for the time that it looks like a new house.
The house was striking, wasn't it? It had this really like Art Deco feel to it.
Art Deco Victorian, but also like confusingly like modern looking. I think that's where it actually like confused me as to what period they were in.
It was like the colors. Like, they have cobalt blue dining room in England.
It had a Frank Lloyd Wright-ish type feel to it.
Jumped out of a painting.
I did find myself kind of getting a little bit distancing myself from the plot a bit at points. I never didn't appreciate what the actors were doing, but I found that it was to diminishing returns as it went along, because I stopped sort of buying the motivations as being convincing. I started going, well, who would do that? Asking those type of questions. You know, I just stopped caring as much about it as a story. And I think that's where this kind of let me down.
Even though it's only an hour and a half, I kind of felt that too. I think it was toward like the beginning of the third act, probably.
I think at that point for me, it shifted into a bit of a character piece, because I started to really care about the main character and his malaise. I mean, he's being revealed as a fraud, but for some reason, I still like him, like all the way through the end. And I think that there's just something to say about the spastic kind of just nature of the film, where it does kind of seem like you're watching a different story at the end and you're kind of anticipating anything at that point, which was kind of stressful, but very exciting. I did like expect it to take a dark turn, because Leslie Mann's character was like gothic Marilyn Monroe to me. I was like, this is going to get like ugly and dark, but I do feel like it didn't necessarily happen, but in like a pleasurable, very palatable way. Like this, I was very whelmed by this film.
No, nobody's like a terrible character here. Leslie Mann's probably the most terrible one, that she's like, yeah, I'm willing to kill to get what I want. But you know, she's terrible. Kind of annoying. And it's like, look, can you please read the room, Leslie Mann? You're dead, okay? Like, he's been married for like 5 years. Like, read the fucking room and back off. And the wife is like, even after she knows this is real, is still like not being terribly understanding of this situation.
Pretty complacent
here
with it, really, that there's a ghost in the house.
And the husband is just on the midst of a nervous breakdown, as anyone would be in the circumstance where his wife is freaking out. The ghost of his ex-wife is there and not only refuses to leave, but might be trying to kill him and is definitely trying to fuck him.
Yeah.
Apparently he's on meth the whole time.
Just a little bit. Yeah. Meanwhile, Judy Dench is in her own realm.
These are emotionally confusing circumstances, is all I'm saying. And I ended up at the end, despite the movie's angle of trying to punish Dan Stevens' character for his primary flaw, which is that his ex-wife was his muse, I was like, wait, but in the end, to me, it was kind of like his ex-wife was even worse than he was in that scenario.
Yeah.
Not to give specifics, but I was like, wow, that was horrible what she did. I didn't feel like Dan Stevens deserved to be punished.
He did stuff that was reprehensible. Yeah, he's not the worst person in this film by a long stretch. At worst, he's just the most pathetic person in it.
Really good at it, too.
He is really funny to watch, though. Everyone is really funny to watch in this, and I think that goes a long way. I do think the repeated joke gets old of he's yelling at the ghost, at Leslie Mann, who no one else can see, and they think that he's yelling at them, and they do that joke like four times, and it's like, guys.
They bring it home when he's chasing her with a mallet.
I thought that was awesome.
You can use it one more time because it's actually working again.
A little bit of vaudeville, yeah.
I mean, it's always a plot device, but it's also always slapstick. It's just as slapstick. It's a little like, we've already seen you pull this. Any other tricks up your sleeve? I don't know. I still haven't seen the original. I really want to see the original now because I think this is a great idea. It's a fascinating idea for a story. And from everything I'm reading, the original is just a much better piece of writing than this is, which was indeed massively rewritten. Like, this is not Coward's original script. These are lots of added jokes, lots of added subplots, a completely different ending. Every review I've read is shitting all over this movie, going, man, if you've ever seen the original, it's a masterpiece, and this is a complete miscalculation. But I feel like I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I don't have a basis for comparison or something. Like, I don't have a place in my heart I'm holding on to the original.
Right.
So I've got nothing to go, oh, it's not as good as that one. They massacred it.
Well, with how silly sexy it is, do you think it must have pulled back on the silly violence? Because the action violence, I'll just say, and this is really tame, especially with how Leslie Mann is so menacing and threatening. And I, as you know, Chris, we've been on a lot of horror movies where I've been like, oh, violence, oh no. But like,
and now you're like, she should have chainsawed someone in half.
Well, no, like,
coming around to the dark side, I see.
A maid like has a knife thrown at her and she's like, goodness me, and that's all we get out of it. Shouldn't that have been bigger or more or a little scary? I just remember being scared but loving to be scared of Beetlejuice, and this seemed to be missing something.
If I remember correctly, the guy that directed this did a lot of TV, so maybe that's got something to do with it. And I did get very much like a theater-esque vibe, just based on some of, like, I'm gonna call it choreography because that's what it looked like most of the time. Like, they were just dancing around each other and pretending one of them wasn't there. But I mean, it does tackle a lot of dark subjects in a very light tone. So I am also pretty curious about what the first movie is like, if it is as funny as this is, or if it's like, you know, one of those, you know, deep thinker comedies.
Not as slapsticky, apparently, either. But, like, I don't know. We're talking in hypotheticals because none of us have seen it. All we can do is say about this film. And so let's get into the nitty gritty with the final thoughts about how you actually felt about it. Frank!
Yeah, the only other Noel Coward piece that I know about is Easy Virtue. And the only reason I've seen it is because it was a Hitchcock film from the 30s. And that was quite delightful. It's pretty obvious that this has been diluted. It has some of the wit, but not all the wit that Coward is known to have had. But that's okay. People are losing their shit over Pieces of a Woman in Hillbilly Elegy on Twitter right now. And we're in the midst of, like, award season. And so I think something nice and frothy and just delightful. It was what the doctor ordered right now. And I like everybody in it. I guess probably only Leslie Mann was my only, like, complaint in terms of the performances, only because this is such a given for her. Like, this is like, oh, of course, this is what she was going to do with it. Like, of course. She should have gotten Gwyneth Paltrow, but that's just me.
If she could have given away free candles scented like her vagina to the whole crew.
God.
And one could explode.
She's so horrible.
Did explode.
Chris, the last time we talked about Gwyneth Paltrow, Chris called her just a rich piece of shit, which really hurt my
feelings. She is a rich piece of shit. Sorry.
But yeah.
Hey, I like Michelle Pfeiffer. Give me a break.
Yeah, you do. But after Michelle, she's queen. So anyway, I like this. This is frothy. This is playful. This is delightful. This does utilize all the actors to their comic best and just has some really fun lines. So I got to give this 8 out of 10 the seances that I wouldn't mind having, but although I don't really want to have any of my exes conjured up, I'm good, actually.
How many of your exes are dead, Frank?
None, but they're far away, and that's some of them, that's where I like for them to stay.
You're like, they're dead to me.
Dead to me.
Santiago.
I want to echo a lot of the things that Frank said. I thought this movie was delightful. I found myself laughing out loud more than once, which doesn't happen a whole lot. I'm sorry, it was more of a chuckle. This movie made me freaking chuckle a lot. I did like the characters, the dark tones. I think the story is like actually a whole lot of fun, and I really enjoyed watching it. I had underestimated Dan Stevens, because when I saw him at the beginning, I was like, you know, this guy never impresses me. I haven't really seen anything that he's in, and he still hasn't impressed me, but I freaking loved him in this movie. I thought he really showed me, I don't know, a side of an actor that I thought was playful, where he doesn't take himself too seriously, and that was cool at the time. And so I'll give him kudos for that. I do want to echo that Leslie Mann is basically just playing the same character over and over and over again, and she took this mold and kind of just like made it her own. You're right, that is what she would do. She can do whatever she wants. She's married to
Judd Apatow.
Yeah, yeah.
One of our finest.
Didn't say his name. I don't want to give Frank a run for his money or say that I loved it that much more, so I'm going to give it 10 out of 10 under the counter prescriptions from your friends.
Brad!
It's fun. It's cheery. I think Dan Stevens is incredible.
Me too.
I think he should be a lead in everything. I don't know why takes risks, but when he does, they pay off. I even watched him in that terrible Beauty and the Beast movie.
Oh, God.
And he was good in it.
The only time I've ever admitted the Beast is better as a human. I also think, okay, this is a typical Leslie Mann role. Maybe that's why she got the part.
Because it was just exactly like the part
she
always plays.
Yeah, maybe it was written for her. Clearly it was rewritten. Isla Fisher, I think, is hilarious. Yes. And I love it when she always does the weird, sexy slapstick she does in every movie. I don't know if she requests to do that or if she's just playing to her strengths. But every time she does it, I'm like, ha, you're so fun. I wish we were friends. And Judi Dench, that's why I requested this. I love Judi Dench. And I know this is kind of a walk in the park for her to be a con, but not a con. And I liked the mystery of that. Like, is she conning all these people or does she actually want to help people and just needs to razzle dazzle them to get them to believe her? It's so cute. And I liked how her story played out too. This is just a delightful romp and silly, even though it drags a little bit at 90 minutes. What? I'm going to go back to what Frank said earlier and do 7 out of 10 exploding vagina candles.
You can't forget that, can you?
We're largely on the same page. This lost me a little quicker than it did you guys. I thought the third act was kind of messy and didn't really work out well. A lot of the jokes are a little too repetitive here, but it is charming and it is fluffy. And it is, you know, a break from all the ultra seriousness. Like, if you can't stand to see a film about a woman who had a botched birth whose baby died, then hey, this is the wrong season for this movie, but here you go.
It wasn't botched. It's just life that happened.
This is fine. I don't think it's wildly memorable either. But like I said, I mean, I love Dan Stevens. I've even in the movies that are bad that he's been in, he tends to be the light in that film. I mean, y'all need to watch Legion. Jesus Christ, man. He's so fucking great on that show. It's unbelievable.
It's not as weird as people say either. You just got to focus on the simple theme.
It's still pretty weird. This is not weird. It sounds like it could have been. It's not. It's very straightforward. This is a movie you can watch with your grandmother, quite frankly. It's sexy, but it's not scandalous.
No, not at all.
It's funny, but it's not anything you have to really think about. It's pretty basic slapstick stuff. If I didn't know it was a stage play originally, I would have guessed that it was. They've certainly expanded past that with sets and what have you. And it's lovely to look at. There's a lot of beautiful stuff to see in this film, for sure. Despite, like I said, having my misgivings about it and thinking that ultimately it's a little forgettable, it was fun to watch at the time. I'm going to give this 6.5 out of 10 amazing, lightning fast ghost costume changes. Man, Leslie Mann, they gave her the best outfits in this movie. Holy shit.
Now say something nice about Gwyneth Paltrow, Chris. Come on.
No. Her best role was when her head was in a box.
Talented Mr. Ripley, though? Everybody loves that movie. I think you're required to love that movie.
I like some of her early work quite a bit. I love The Royal Tenenbaums. I love Seven. I can't think of anything else. So, you know.
There you are. You said something nice about her.
We love you, Gwyneth.
Don't say we. There's no we.